Motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there any discussion or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.1, consideration to approve preliminary plat of R. Spinks subdivision, 1.8261 acres, located in the J. House Survey, A34, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The first plat on the agenda tonight is the R. Spinks subdivision, a replat located south of Brown Road and west of Kingbird Drive. It's located in the city's ETJ. One lot is being created of 1.8261 acres. This is a copy of the plat that's been submitted for approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. Add contours, existing utilities, existing improvements to the preliminary plat. Confirm the note regarding on-site wastewater treatment is correct. Add front building line at 25 feet, a rear building line at 15 feet, and side building lines at 5 feet. Fix the typo and submit the plat to Harris County for their approval since it's in the ETJ.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Donegan. All right. Is there any discussion or questions? All right. Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.2, consideration to approve final plat of USA I-2, a replat of lots 25 and 26 in Block 86 into new lot 25, 0.1607 acres in Block 86, a revised map of Tomball, an addition in Harris County, Texas, according to the map or plat thereof recorded in Volume 4. Page 25 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Said block 86 line in the Ralph Hubbard survey. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat on the agenda tonight is USI 2, a replat located on the north side of Texas Street between Willow and Howard. It's zone SF6. One lot is being created of 0.1607 acres. This is a copy of the plat that's been submitted for our approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingency to submit original tax certificates from Harris County and Tomball ISD.
All right, thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
I'll make the motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Donegan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion or questions? All right, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.3, consideration to approve final plat of replat of Tomlinson Tract, BNA 0.3837 acres, tract of land located in the Joseph House Survey, abstract number 34, Harris County, Texas, and being a replat of new lot 102A and new lot 102B, of Tomlinson Tract, a subdivision according to the map or plat thereof recorded in film code number 423062 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The final plat on the agenda tonight is replat of Tomlinson Tract. It's on the south side of Turner Vine Lane, east of Hirsch Street, zoned SF9. One lot is being created at 0.3837 acres. This is a copy of the plat that's been submitted for approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. Submit original tax certificates for Harris County and Tomball ISD.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there any discussion or questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.4, consideration to approve zoning case P17-0115, request by Robert Allen to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 76.01 acres of land legally described as a portion of Reserve D, Reserve at Spring Lake, Section 2, within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, generally located at the north end of Spring Lake Boulevard from the agricultural district to the single-family 20 estate district. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
Okay, this is the aerial image showing the entire property outlined in red. The blue lines are the city limits lines. The subject site is currently undeveloped. This picture was taken at the dead end of a street that is proposed to be continued to lead into the subdivision. Just to give you some background on the case, this is part of a new section of the Reserve at Spring Lake subdivision, which has been under construction here in the city for a few years now. And the developer has requested that the new section be developed as a minimum of half-acre lots, where currently a minimum of one-acre lots are required. Most of the property is zoned agricultural. It's about 91 acres total. The applicant is only requesting that 76 acres be rezoned, and the remaining will remain agricultural. The property to the south is part of the Reserve at Spring Lake subdivision, and it is zoned ag. Other properties are zoned single-family 20. The future land use map designates the property as rural residential. Rural residential describes properties being developed as a minimum of one-acre lots. Staff does believe that the uses permitted in the single-family 20 estate district are appropriate for the immediate area. This is based on the zoning in the area. There's older neighborhoods to the west of this property that are zoned single-family 20. The future land use designates the property as rural residential, as mentioned. It's obviously not comparable. However, the comprehensive plan does discuss other goals of the city, such as the need for a mix of housing styles and densities. And city staff has not seen very many new subdivisions being developed as single-family 20. The property Riley Creek, which is just to the east, is zoned single-family 20, but they're vested single-family 9. Which means they build to the SF9 district standards, which is a minimum of 9,000 square foot lots. I think we were up to 5 public comment forms that the commissioners received. This is a proposed layout. I know it's kind of hard to see, but it was in your staff report as well. I'll let the developer discuss this a little more in detail if he wants, but Craig wanted to mention some drainage stuff, because a lot of the public comment forms that we got had issues with the drainage. Craig?
Yeah, I can answer any questions when it comes up if drainage is even a topic, but I wanted to just point out that the two faded yellow, or whatever color that is, more tan, where the SF20 lots would be going, those are being shown outside of the floodplain. The floodplain is generally in the green area that you see over there, and then there's a little piece that kind of comes up where you see the green that separates the two pod areas. But just want to just point out that, yes, Spring Creek is just to the north. However, granted, this is a schematic plan, but what's being proposed that you see here is outside the floodplain. So we can talk about it in more detail should you have any other questions.
So based on everything that Craig and I outlined in this report, we do recommend approval. The proposed rezoning might not be exactly consistent with the future land use map. However, it does meet other goals of the comprehensive plan. It's generally appropriate with the surrounding land uses in the area, and it's generally appropriate with the surrounding zoning districts. The applicant is here to address the commission.
Thank you. I'm Bob Allen, and I'm the one of the general partners in the development. We've been developing this for 6 or 7 years. We have not had the sales we ever expected to accomplish. It's been horribly slow. We had a major builder in the area that pulled out this year. I've just recently contracted with another builder. There's two gentlemen that are local, but they're going with a Canadian outfit. They have contracted for the 23 lots I have left in Section 2 and 1, and they expressed extreme interest if we could come up with a better land plan for some half-acre lots in the northern section. So that's when I approached the city staff to see if it would be possible They have indicated in writing their interest in the half-acre lots. The breakdown of the new lots is actually 24,000 square foot is the average lot. We have lots in there from 0.46 up to over an acre. So I would appreciate your consideration in letting us move forward with this. We think we can build this thing out with them committed to what's in Section 1 and 2 now, and they have the financial strength to move forward. They're going to build a new model in next to the, where the old model is, and they're going to be I've dealt with these two gentlemen for over 25 years, and they've been very active in the Houston market and been very successful. The land plan is not changing at all, except for the acreage of the lots, or the lots becoming smaller. It's the same land plan we submitted 8 or 9 years ago when we submitted our initial plan. So we're not getting any closer to the floodplain area. It's within the confines of what we submitted originally, and we're all very cognizant of the flood issues. So we're going to make sure that everything that we build is out of the floodplain, and most likely we'll raise the lots beyond that because we're going to have the dirt to excavate from the detention areas.
Mr. Owen, could you state your address for the record, please?
14814 Avila, A-V-I-L-A, Houston, Texas, 77095.
Thank you.
Questions?
We'll call you forward.
Thank
you very much. Okay, the public hearing on zoning case P-17-0115 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:14. Is there anyone here who would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anyone who signed in?
No, not for this particular case.
Not for this particular case? All right. None. Okay. All right, seeing none. Time is now calling the...
No one signed in.
Is there anybody here present who would like to speak regarding this request?
Yeah, I'll
okay, if you please state your name and address.
Yeah, my name is Eddie Sansom,
S-A-N-S-O-M.
Address 13102 Kimbrough.
Could you spell that?
K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H. My only concern when I saw this come across is that within the last year, I just purchased a piece of land, and my property backs up to the proposed subdivision now of the smaller lots. So when I purchased the land to build the house, we were, you know, under the impression that we would have bigger communities behind our house, and now we've moved out of a subdivision to potentially be right back in the middle of one. And I didn't know how that would affect us, you know, as far as what we were trying to get away from, and with the unknown that this is now presented.
Okay.
So that's all I had to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak regarding this request? Seeing none, the public hearing is now closed. The time is now 6:16. All right, may I have a motion to approve zoning case P-17-0115? Guys.
We got to do this before we discuss.
Yes, we can't. You have to make a motion.
Motion to approve, then.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
And
yeah, I got some questions too. Okay. You want to go first?
I'll go first. We've got a lot of negative comments, and the most interesting one to me was from Union Pacific. I'm not too sure I'm clear on where this plays into the subdivision, so Anybody want to clarify?
Union Pacific is on the northern boundary, but we're not crossing, but we are but Union Pacific.
Could you come to the podium, sir? Thank you.
Union Pacific is that dark line across...
right there on the upper...
Yeah, where the lots back up to.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're not crossing, we're not asking to cross. We've got a buffer between us and the railroad tracks. So I don't know what the concern with Union Pacific is or what their question is.
There's a trestle there mm-hmm. that goes, drains that is a drain that they had to build when they built the railroad. That goes to Spring Creek.
But you've got lots that are backing right up against it. So I think their concern is, well, I can imagine...
Well, I'm not going to be right up. We're putting in like a 160-foot buffer or something like that between us and the railroad tracks.
It's hard to see.
And we tried to put as few lots. We put cul-de-sacs on those lots on the northern part to put as few lots on the railroad and as well as the gun club.
Okay.
Thank you.
Originally, how many houses did you plan when it was 1 acre?
45.
So now it's going to 90 homes?
Yes.
And your drainage will be able... Okay, do I need to talk to you about the drainage? Because I've got very big problems about drainage nowadays.
Okay. Do y'all have a picture that shows where the railroad is so that everybody will be clear?
I think it's
on one of the schematics I saw.
This, right?
You talking about what line it is on the screen?
Yeah. I think there's one up there.
This line right here?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
This okay. is the high line.
Does that answer your question?
So it's a railroad, yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Okay. Richard, did you have some questions of the applicant or the staff?
No.
Okay. You do. Go ahead, Derek. You're up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Anytime.
Okay, explain to me, with all the flooding we've already got going on down here, how adding 45 more houses is not going to be a big deal.
Well, this, as well as any other development we have in the city, is going to require stormwater detention. The way that you size the stormwater detention is 0.55 acre feet per acre. So depending on the area of all the development, you have to provide that much volume. And then the pond is designed to release at a rate that is at historic conditions, so a rate that is existing today, which would drain directly into Spring Creek. So that's how the additional runoff that's going to be created from this housing development will be accommodated through that detention pond.
Okay. Are we sure that retention ponds by Tomball's engineering facility work? Because there was a comment made a couple of months ago when we had the same discussion about that retention ponds don't really work.
I remember that comment, and yeah. That was a comment by a individual in the audience. It was not a comment made by a staff. Yes, they are designed to work. Okay. We have them all over the city for every residential development is required to do. Detention. So yes, they work. Absolutely work.
And this also goes to, doesn't it also drain down eventually to Boggs Gully?
No, because it goes right, goes right into Spring Creek. Boggs Gully feeds into Spring Creek. Boggs Gully is on the other side of Raleigh Creek. It's a finger that goes into Spring Creek, but this will drain to the north directly into Spring Creek and not into Boggs Gully directly.
On the FEMA floodplain map, it shows like a finger inlet like this coming, and it almost looks like it comes into that area.
It does, and that's what I mentioned a minute ago. Let me get the pointer. I'm going to guess, and you're probably going to confirm this, but I did look at the floodplain map. It generally is in this area, and then it comes in a little bit in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that's why you're leaving this as open space, is because there is a floodplain that's in there.
So how large is that area going to be? the open area between the two subdivision sections.
That's about 10, it's detention ponds on the south side of 10 acres. I'm going to say that's about 7. And I'll point out that detention pond worked as designed in the RV flood.
What this drawing, what is this picture?
Actually, I saw that today. That picture is taken at the end of Ulrich Road where the High Line goes across Spring Creek. So what you're seeing in that picture is actually the creek. It's a little bit misleading because the High Line cuts right through Raleigh Creek and the reserve, but that picture was taken as the High Line crosses Spring Creek. So that's what you're seeing in that photo. That's outside of the boundaries, from what I can tell, of this development because it's really crossing the creek. It's off the page on that. Because Ulrich Road is essentially right here, and then I believe that picture is like right in here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
which is outside of where he's going, planning on developing.
It would be further south.
Well, okay, I'm sorry, it's probably right in here, because the High Line goes through here in a straight shot, so it's probably taken right in here. I mean, this is all floodplain. So that's what you're seeing in that photo. And that's the area he's planning on not touching.
Can you show me on that where the Tomball Gun Club is? I think I know where it is, but I just...
Over, like right probably in here.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
That green line.
What direction will the water flow from off that property?
Everything in this is generally falls to the north because into the major creek system.
Because it drops down?
Yeah, because it drops down into Spring Creek.
So it won't affect the gun club?
Yeah, I mean, when you design the detention system, and when you design the streets and all the lots, you drain the lots typically into the streets, and then the streets have their conveyance system, whether it's right. Open ditch or curb and gutter. I'm not sure what is planned. But regardless, there's a conveyance system through storm sewers or ditches into the detention pond. So everything that's any runoff that collects in the residential area is going to be funneled into that detention pond. It's not going to be shooting off onto other properties and flooding adjacent properties. That's how you design a subdivision.
Right. And from the detention pond, say we get an extraordinary rain, like we have a lot recently in the last few years, which way and where will that water flow to?
Well, the detention pond is going to drain directly into Spring Creek. So that's where your runoff is going to go once the pond begins to drain. It goes into Spring Creek.
Okay, so that is how it's going to be designed to flow into Spring Creek.
That's the way it needs to be designed. It hasn't been designed yet, but that's
the
way it needs to be
designed. No, that's what I'm saying, is that what you're looking at, okay?
So that would alleviate the gun club's concern about flooding?
It addresses it from this development because it's going to go straight into a detention pond and then directly into Spring Creek. It's not going to be shooting straight over towards the gun club, which is to the, I guess, the northeast or east.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Are they building any of these lots up?
Yeah.
From the elevation?
And if they are,
From the elevation it is currently at today, which is bare dirt, are they going to build these lots up, and how far are they going to build those
up? I'll let the developer answer that question, but one thing I want to mention is the city of Tomball has very high standards in regards to floodplains. So we have a base flood elevation. Let's just say for simplicity, it's 100 feet. The city of Tomball requires an 18-inch freeboard above that studied base flood elevation. So if it's, say, 100, for example, those home elevations would have to be a minimum of 101.5 feet. So that freeboard's built in just for extra safety and basically a flooding event.
So if it floods at 100 feet?
Yeah, let's just
say
that's the flood.
And that water's going to go someplace else other than the lot that it goes on to now.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say, streets. I mean, you probably saw during Harvey, a lot of the streets go underwater. That's not unusual. That's okay for streets to go underwater as long as your car's not parked in there. But homes are typically built up in elevation. Streets can be in the floodplain all day long. It's the elevations of the structures that shouldn't be, and they need to be elevated.
How much dirt are they going to put on top of the dirt that's already there, is my question.
Well, that's fine.
Well, where's it? You push it a little bit. If I've got elevations in here that are 185 feet, these are contour lines, and some in here, it drops down in this area to 130 or something like that. But I've got elevations over here at 185. So this land is as high as some of this land in here. This is probably the highest point in our, on our properties.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not, I mean, this land is not sloping. You know, there's a drastic slope here with this, this is a natural drain right here, and there's another one back in here. So that's where the water would naturally go, and that's why we're building the detention pond. We're not going to convey any more water that we're collecting now and putting it out
than what we would have put out before we develop it. We're going to contain that water and then put it out at the same rate the water's going out today on undeveloped land.
If the creek rises and floods that property today, and you put additional dirt on there so that it doesn't flood, but you contain that water has to go somewhere. The water that floods that property has to go somewhere. What I'm asking is how far up from the natural elevation it is right now are you going to build those lots?
I'm planning on with the lots that are at 185 feet, I wouldn't build up at all. If I mitigate any land in the floodplain, I've got to offset that mitigation on site. So I can't put any dirt in the floodplain. Mm-hmm. I can only mitigate on site.
Okay, thank you.
How far are you going to raise, Mr. Allen, how far are you going to raise the little road between the two sections, the connecting?
The roads will actually be, they'll be lower than the natural dirt, because you mm-hmm. cut the streets out, put the dirt back up on the lots, mm-hmm. and the roads act as a conveyance of floodwaters now. And then other developments that I've done, you have to have what mm-hmm. they call extreme events structures, and the roads actually act as a stream event structure. So mm-hmm. the roads will convey the water as well as the ditches.
Okay, I'm just a little bit concerned about the very last section. How are those people going to get out of there if the roads go underwater? I mean, that's a worst case scenario.
Yeah, I've got access here at Ulrich, and you've got access here through my subdivision, the Reserve Spring Lake, and then also mm-hmm. Raleigh Creek.
But you just told me that between the two portions, that right there where you put the pointer, that's going to be down at
the bottom of that ditch is down. So my lots will be mm-hmm. up.
Right.
And then, but that. That drops off there, and whatever the, I don't know what the flood elevation is out there. Do you?
No, I
mean, it's like 113 or something like that. So, mm-hmm.
I think to answer your question, if this road that connects these two pods goes underwater, mm-hmm. This
the back one
that's created, if you will, mm-hmm. here would be able to get access out through mm-hmm. the access onto the Ulrich. So. They have a secondary access. They can either come this way or they can go this way. And then this being a little bit higher, if this is underwater, they can just come out and go through Raleigh Creek or come out and go all the way down.
Right.
So
okay.
There's options for...
Well, that was my biggest concern. I want to make sure I've been stuck. You don't want to ever get somebody stuck. So.
Craig,
thank
or, or I guess, sir, the gentleman that spoke a while ago, where's his place that he's talking about they're building up behind him now?
Yeah, so basically go to the corner of where you're at. Okay, that's where our property is right there. And the power line easement you see right there, Spring Creek was about 200 feet from our house.
Okay, thank you.
Did it flood?
Now, is this going to be a gated community somewhere?
Yes,
that
yes,
will be?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is there any other questions? Anybody else have any other questions? All right. Seeing no other questions, please enter your vote now.
Motion passes 3-2.
Thank you. 5.5, Consideration to approve zoning case P17-0116, request by Cesar Neto to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 1.52 acres of land legally described as Tract 245 Tomball Outlots within the city of Tomball, Texas, Harris County, Texas, generally located at the northeast corner of Chestnut Street and Lizzie Lane, from the single-family 6th District to the commercial district. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
Yes, thank you. Okay, this is an aerial image showing the property outlined in red. The site is about 1.5 acres, and it's currently undeveloped. Pretty simple background here. We met with the applicant and discussed the options for his property. Everything that he wanted to do did require rezoning, so he has requested commercial. The property is currently zoned single family 6. Surrounding properties are also zoned single family 6, duplex, and then planned development district number 3. The future land use map designates the property as medium density residential. Other properties in the area are also designated medium density with some mixed use, and then business industrial where the current business park sits. There are a mix of land uses in the immediate area. As mentioned, Chestnut Business Park is to the north. There's also a storage facility to the north. To the south and east, there's some vacant land and then single family residences down Lizzie. And then the further east you get on Lizzie, right where you hit Persimmon, there is some commercial zone land and also land uses there. There does appear to be somewhat of a dividing line between the commercial and the residential uses, and kind of determined that that's kind of where Chestnut turns into Lizzie Lane. The business park has access on Chestnut, and then all of the single family and the duplex district have their access on Lizzie Lane. This property also has a Lizzie Lane address. We do believe that the uses permitted in the commercial zoning district do appear to be too intense for this area. I want to mention, you know, that the business park to the north, it's a planned development, so they have restrictions on what they can and can't have, and one of those is they're restricted to indoor use only, whereas the commercial district, they would be allowed to do outdoor storage and outdoor sales and stuff like that. Also, the comprehensive plan, it's against the future land use map. The comp plan also discusses, puts a great emphasis on protecting the established neighborhoods and preserving the rural lifestyle of Tomball. We do believe that allowing commercial businesses to continue to encroach closer onto these single family dwellings, it would be against what the comprehensive plan's goals are. I think we're up to 3 public comment forms. I think we got one in kind of last minute. 2 of them were in opposition and 1 of them was in favor. City staff is unable to recommend approval in this case. It doesn't meet the goals of the comprehensive plan. It's not in conformance with the future land use map. Again, the uses that are permitted in the commercial district do appear a little too intense for this area, and the request is not appropriate with the zoning districts in the area. I did not speak to the applicant today, so I don't know if... Okay, she is here. Would you like to address the commission?
My name is Kimberly Villaroche, and I'm actually the listing agent for the property I'm representing for the seller. And I just wanted to come and explain the information.
Could you please state your name and address clearly for the record?
Kimberly Villaroche, and my address is 30259 Old Joseph in Hockley. Basically, just wanted to come out. We've had this property listed for over a year now. Every person that has any interest in this property whatsoever is all commercial. I don't have any residential interest in it at all. To the right side of me is a commercial building. To the left of me, it's a residential build, a residential, but they also are operating commercial out of it. So anytime someone gives us interest, it's all about commercial. So I wanted to make sure I kind of gave you guys that information for consideration. That's all I have.
Thank you. All right. The public hearing on zoning case.
Sorry, he's.
Wait till the
I'm sorry.
Hearing. We haven't opened it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I haven't opened the public.
Okay,
hearing.
Okay, well, I'm here on representing the client as well on that deal for Lizzie.
Okay. Okay, and could you state your name and address?
Yes, Joshua Rendon, address 13939 Fairwood Springs Drive. That's Cypress, 77429. The client who is interested in purchasing this property and having it rezoned would be interested in building something very similar to the business park immediately adjacent to the north of it, which is Chestnut Business Park, which is a planned development. I think that, you know, an acre and a half is, you know, it is, you know, the site is suitable for commercial development, and the owner would also be interested, or the client would also be interested in maybe achieving variances or getting variances for maybe fencing to screen off if there was a residential neighbor that had a complaint or something of the sort, or going about other sorts to limit the outside storage or activity, noise, smells, things like that that can be generated from commercial activity as well. So just wanted to note that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, the public hearing on zoning case piece 17-0116 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:38. Is there anybody here who would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak, and please state your name and address clearly for the record. Do we have anybody on file?
No one is listed for this item.
Mm-hmm.
No one is listed for this item.
That's one.
This is the one you were listed on?
Okay. Okay. Would you call her up?
Latrell Shannon, please come up.
My name is Latrell Shannon. The address is 823 Lizzie Lane here in Tomball. My husband Sam and I. We are against the requested rezoning of this particular property. We are beginning to see our residential zone area of Lizzie Lane in South Chestnut slowly being eroded away by people seeking monetary gain by requesting to change portions of our residential areas to commercial. No, we do not want to see this continue to happen. Number one, we have conceded in the past and allowed for areas on one end of our street to be changed from zone residential to commercial on both sides of the street. That's on the east end. Number two, we've had to consent to allowing commercial warehouses being built in our residential area on the northern section. And as a result of those buildings being built, we are starting to see water overflow and flooding from their retention areas that lead to more water and flooding into our areas and homes. And this is one reason we're against what he just said. Detention ponds do not work. We are prime examples of that here. Number three, there is one business operating in our residential zone area in the north area, and it continues to violate the zoning and coding ordinances that the city has enforced by allowing horrible outside storage around that building. And I've complained numerous times, but nothing seems to be done about that. We say enough is enough. At some point, we have to stop, and let's establish some boundaries here. If not, we could possibly end up seeing our area become more spotted with residential and commercial areas. After all, that was our purpose, our main purpose was seeking to get our area zoned as residential, to prevent this from happening. Doing things like this defeats the purpose of having a zoning ordinance. We ask you to please help us to protect the legacy that our foreparents have established here and allow us to live in our residential zone areas in peace and harmony and without the distraction of any more commercial businesses in the area. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to speak regarding this application? Please come up and state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Catherine Carrington. My address is 810 Lizzie Lane, Tomball. My husband, Jerry, and I live at 810 Lizzie Lane, approximately 200 yards southeast of the property requesting to be rezoned. The reason we are against the request is in the written proposal itself, which basically states to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinance by rezoning approximately 1.5 acres of land legally described as Tract 245 Tomball Islands within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, from the single family, which we have a single family, 6th District, to the commercial district. We don't want this. This is a single family district, and I believe should remain the same. at Lizzie Lane. Lizzie Lane has been a family community, yes, I said family, for over 60 plus years. The few homeowners that are on this track of Lizzie Lane and Chestnut has watched the commercial businesses squeeze in on us on both sides, including Lizzie Lane and South Persimmon. We have issues with drainage, traffic, speeding, and or taking a shortcut through our street and neighborhood. But it's our neighborhood and street. We want to remain a single family district. Just as a side note, as I was writing this down, writing down my thoughts, today an 18-wheeler came through Lizzie Lane. Why? I don't think anything larger than a school bus, garbage truck, or FedEx delivery truck should be allowed on this street, because it's not a business area. It's a family community. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak to this? There are no additional comments. The public hearing is now closed. The time is now 6:44. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P17-0116?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Okay, is there any discussion or questions?
That's what we've got zoning about. So you know my discussion on this. That's why when you got it single family, we seem to every time we turn around do it. So it's single family to me.
Do any other comments or discussion? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion fails unanimously.
Thank you. 5.6. Consideration to approve zoning case P17-0117. Request by Josh Rendon on behalf of Drake Builders to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 8.36 acres of land legally described as Lot 9 Tomball Marketplace within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Generally located on the north side of Medical Complex Drive, west of SH-249, from the Agricultural District to the Commercial District. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
This is the image. I'm sorry, this is the property outlined in red. The blue line, again, is the city limits line. It's right on the border there. The site is currently undeveloped. We met with the applicant earlier this year to discuss a proposed new development on this site, and staff informed them that the site would have to be rezoned prior to the development occurring, so they did submit a rezoning application. Again, the property is zoned agricultural district. Surrounding properties that are within the city limits are zoned commercial and general retail, and this crosshatched is a CUP for the Marriott. The comprehensive plan future land use map designates the property as mixed use, which includes a mix of office, retail, and commercial land uses. Surrounding properties are also designated mixed use as well as commercial. Staff believes that the uses permitted in the commercial district are appropriate for the immediate area. Land uses in the area include the Kohl's Shopping Center with the Academy and Hallmark and all those other shops. Again, the Residence Inn is on Medical Complex, and the access to the arterial roads make it appropriate for a commercial development. And it is also in conformance with the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map of Mixed Use. This is the public notification map. All requirements were met. We did not receive any public comment forms. And we do recommend approval. Again, it meets the goals of the comp plan. It's in line with the future land use map. It's appropriate with the land uses in the area, and it's appropriate with the zoning districts in the area. The applicant is here and does have a presentation.
Okay. Will the applicant please come forward and present your case, state your name and address for the record?
Yes. Joshua Rendon, 13939 Fairwood Springs Drive, Cypress, 77429.
Thank you.
So really going to reiterate a lot of what Amelia just had to say.
So we're here for 8.3 acres, which is also known as Lot 9 in the Tomball Marketplace development, located at the off of Medical Complex Drive at the corner of 2920 and the 249 bypass. Tomball Marketplace was originally, is actually a part of a 60-acre commercial development, which houses the Academy, Marshalls, Kohl's. The 8.3 acres was actually included in part of the Tomball Marketplace plat and identified as Lot 9 and restricted to commercial use. Although it remained zoned as agricultural today, which I believe is still part of the zoning map, is what the zoning map shows. When Weingarten Realty, who is still the current owner, developed the Tomball Marketplace development with the Academy and Kohl's, they horizontally developed this site, providing it utilities, water, sewer, gas, and detention capacity. So the detention pond is actually this area here, mm-hmm. which drains this site, which is what we have as the subject site. And then this is the Academy, Kohl's, and then all the other retail that drains into this pond as well. This is the current zoning map. As you can see, it's still marked agricultural. All this is commercial, which we are requesting to be included, which is the rest of the plat that this is part of. And then all this is the general retail and the new Marriott Hotel that's gone in. That's a picture of the Marriott directly across the street. Immediately to the east of us, there's a sign on the property saying pre-leasing for retail. To the south of us, there's pre-leasing retail signage as well. This is a conceptual site plan for a business park. There's 13 buildings, close to 100,000 square feet. These would be for small, single-use tenants or business owners. And then another site plan, again, marked conceptual for larger buildings, close to 100,000 square feet. These would be subdivided or potential for single use as well. We also met with the Tomball Economic Development Corporation and received a letter of support from them. We believe that this will help enhance the business operations, bring new businesses, jobs, and growth to the city of Tomball. And they were in agreement with us on that and provided the letter of support as well. So we appreciate your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The public hearing on zoning case P-17-0117 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:51. Is there anybody here who would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anybody?
No.
Is there anybody who would like to speak? Seeing none, there are no comments. Public hearing is now closed. The time is now 6:51. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P-17-0117?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion or questions?
Well, this may be a question just for the commission. Is how come this was left as mixed use when they did the original development? Is that predating zoning, maybe? Anybody know?
I mean, why was it zoned?
Why was it left alone when it was part of the original development?
Probably just there when they did the zoning map.
Okay.
So. I don't know why. That may not make a whole lot of sense, but
it's just curious. That's all.
Are you talking about why was it?
I was on that deal.
Yeah, I was too.
And we were told to put anything ag that we didn't know what it should be.
Yeah, ag is the placeholder.
It's a placeholder until it's zoned in whatever direction they want to go.
Man, what memories.
Like, never mind.
Okay. Like I said, just curious.
Okay. Is there any other questions or discussion? Okay, I just have one question. I was looking at the letter. Is it Rendon?
Yes.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you put in here on this that it is the owner's intent to develop it, you know, office, warehouse, service distribution type thing. But yet, in the actual application I was looking at, it says something about commercial use. Besides commercial and light industrial, do you really have any intentions of light industrial? Because commercial's not going to fit that, and it's not really appropriate for the area, in my opinion.
So the in the zoning matrix, there were a number of businesses that are, they fall under commercial zoning, and then there's industrial, light industrial as well. Mm-hmm. I think in the light industrial type of, or industrial matrix, a lot of the businesses that were defined in that were things of manufacturing, use of chemicals, things that were, you know, make a lot of noise, and present a lot of odors, things like that. I don't think that that's a business model that the that my client or the city would permit there. So what we're
okay, I just was wondering, because in the application it states in description of project, commercial, light industrial, flex office, and warehouse.
Yes, ma'am. On the application?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. So, I mean, the industrial is a loose term. I think on the matrix that there are, again, there's several businesses that are, there's a lot of common area in commercial and the industrial matrixes. But as far as we're concerned, all the businesses that we would be catering to in the business park would fall under the commercial a commercial application as well.
Okay. Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Consideration 5.7, consideration to approve the wrong one. 118. Sorry, I'm off track. Seriously. I did not put this on my agenda. Okay. Zoning case P17-0118. Request by Josh Rendon on behalf of Drake Builders to amend. Yeah, that's the one before it. This doesn't have the correct information on it. Let me switch agendas here. Yeah, I'll borrow yours. Thank you. Okay, got it. Request by the City of Tomball to amend Sections 50-115B2 of the Tomball Court of Ordinances by requiring commercial refuse areas which are visible from a public right-of-way to be visually screened by a minimum 6-foot solid masonry wall on at least 3 sides. Okay. Staff, would you present a report?
Thank you. Okay, so at a city council meeting in August, council directed city staff to propose this text amendment requiring all new developments have a dumpster that is that has an enclosure that is masonry. So real quick, section 50-115B, which is the screening of non-residential, multifamily areas, and manufactured or mobile home parks, it states this, and I'll read it real quick. It says, refuse areas which are not within a rear service areas and which are located from a visible public right-of-way for all non-residential, multifamily, and manufactured slash mobile home parks shall be visually screened by a minimum 6-foot solid wall or fence on at least 3 sides. The fourth side, which is to be used for garbage pickup service, may provide an optional gate to secure the refuse storage area. Alternate equivalent screening methods may be approved by the city. Each refuge facility shall be located so as to facilitate pickup facilitate pickup by refuse collection agencies. Adequate reimbursed paved areas shall be provided for refuse facilities and their approaches for loading and unloading as per an illustration. So the proposed amendment's pretty simple. We're taking out the language in red, which says "or fence," and adding the word "masonry." So it'll say that they shall be visually screened by a minimum 6-foot solid masonry wall on at least 3 sides. I drove around the city and took some pictures for y'all. So something like this would be permitted right now. It's just fence pickets with some doors open. Something like this, again, it's a newer development, but it currently is allowed with the wooden pickets. This would be considered masonry. Something like this is masonry with the gates, which are optional. And again, masonry. So this is what we're looking to go towards for all new developments. And we're happy to answer any questions that you guys have.
Okay. All right. The public, excuse me. The public hearing on zoning case P17-118 is now open. The time is now 6:58. Is there anybody who would like to speak to this request? Okay. Seeing none. The time is now 6:59 and the public hearing is closed. Okay. Could I have a motion to approve zoning case P17-0118?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Thank you, commissioners. Okay. Is there any discussion or questions?
Gates are optional?
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, mine too.
Why would we make gates optional? Because you're leaving an open side to see the... Okay, I'm getting a look, you guys.
So that's what's currently required. When zoning was adopted, gates were optional.
So you're saying I did this.
You were the only one who was there. So we just went with exactly what council directed us.
Can we change that? Can we put a contingency or...
Okay, so let me ask the attorney to address that.
Based on the description that's in here tonight, I don't think that you can change it to require gates. If you want to do that, you can give direction to council, take no action on this item tonight, and they'll bring it back with the change that it be required to be masonry and that gates are no longer optional. Just the way it's described. It can't be, the gates can't be added on this.
What do y'all want? Do y'all want to bring it back? Or do you
The other option would be to approve it this way and come back with another text amendment that adds gates.
But that's doing it twice.
You're going to have to do it twice anyway because it's here.
Yeah.
The question is whether or not it goes to city council twice.
I was at the city council meeting, they discussed it that night, and they were even talking about having automatic gates, remember?
Yeah.
One of them, the automatic gate.
I couldn't remember.
The night we talked about this was when we were talking about the livable centers plan and the downtown alley improvements. And
there's a lot of discussion about the gate. We just talked about the material, whether they didn't want to see the wood fences around them anymore. They wanted to see the masonry. We didn't get into the details. I mean, this was like a sidebar comment. This is not what we were talking about that night.
One night they did talk about it because they talked about McDonald's leaving their gates open and being able to see it all the time.
I don't recall that. But it wasn't that night, but it may have happened. My memory could be failing me, but I don't recall that discussion.
Commissioner Rockmore, you have a question? Commissioner Benson?
I think that just seeing the pictures that we saw with gates on them, I mean, I guess those are voluntary, but people are putting gates up. I think it does look better. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a masonry fence, I think that the gate helps.
We've been advised by Mr. Smith to just table it. I mean, not table it, but take no action on it now, which means no vote. And then they'll just have to bring, and then we advise the council as to what we think. And this will not go to council.
It'll come back to P&Z in November, and then the council.
With corrected language.
So just to be clear, we're okay with what's proposed right now, but then where it says the fourth side, which is to be used for garbage pickup, we're going to change this to say must provide a gate to secure the refuse. Is that
on that fourth wall or...
Well, I don't know if you're protecting the garbage, but I think it needs to have, at least have a gate, and do we need to specify what type of gate we would like to see? Material-wise or anything? I mean, do you need that kind of direction?
Just not masonry.
Yeah, I don't think masonry would be real easy to make, though, unless you've got big rollers.
I'll kind of go through these pictures again. This one looks like metal. It's like masonry and metal. This one's metal.
Masonry and metal.
And then this one has the wood.
I don't know. What type of gate would y'all like to recommend?
Well, one thing I'd like to ask is, you know, these all show closed.
Non-opaque.
And half the time, once a garbage truck comes up, they're not going to close them, and you're left looking at it anyway.
That's why I was brought about the automatic.
Well,
so I don't know if we could, you know, if it's going to come back at us, what are we going to do with that?
That's probably why the gates are optional right now.
Yeah.
But at one time,
it'd be like, I don't know if you can enforce something like that.
That, yeah.
I would say put a gate on it with an automatic closer.
If we change the code to require a gate to have it screened, could it become a code enforcement issue if they're open and you can see the dumpster?
It would have to be an issue. It would just add to their list, yes.
you would have to clarify that a gate is required and is required to be closed, except when
there you
go. Access. But you're right. That's
going to be a nightmare, but yes. Thanks, Lauren. The one thing I wanted to mention, I know that you talked about not doing action. I know we're here tonight and we're talking about this, but if you take no action, I'm almost suggesting this. I almost would suggest you do take action, because we're looking at another 30 days. If someone submits a site plan tomorrow with a fence and not masonry, we have to approve it. So what I would suggest, if masonry is that important to you, I would approve this, and then we could forward the recommendation that you would like to see a gate required, and we can mention that at City Council. That gets this issue addressed, because if you don't address the masonry tonight and we get a site plan submittal tomorrow, fence is fine. So.
But does City Council have to take action on the exact motion as written tonight? Or can it change between this motion and the one they vote on?
They can change slightly. They wouldn't be able to add the gate, as we've talked about, because it hasn't been gone through the process.
And they would have to wait, send it all the way back to us, and we would go right back through the...
They may be able to add a requirement that it be painted masonry. I'm just throwing something out. But they wouldn't be able to come back with and add the gate.
See, if we take no action here, it doesn't go to council. Yeah, it's still going to require the same 30 days to come back to us.
The other option would be to take, as Craig mentioned, would be go ahead and approve this, let council approve it, and let staff come back through with the...
Yeah, and I don't think this would be back at planning zoning until December. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think we could make it in November.
We can still make the public hearing? Okay. It would be tight.
You're still losing a month.
Yeah, you're going to lose the month regardless.
I'm just throwing it out there. If that's important to you... We're addressing it twice anyway, so you could approve that, give us direction that you want a gate, and I could mention that at City Council, and then see if we move forward with that.
So what would be your recommendation?
It's up to you.
I know. But
the risk is that you get a site plan in the month that it's taken, the additional month that it's taken to come back with the gate, that does not have to comply with the masonry element. It wouldn't be that difficult to go ahead and approve it, let council pass it, and then come back with the gate.
With a second amendment.
Address the gate issue anyway. Because you're going to have to go through another publication, another public hearing on the gate issue anyway. And so the question is...
Your recommendation earlier to me was that perhaps we take no action tonight.
If you wanted to add the gate to it, you would have to take no action tonight.
Right.
If you want to pass this and then deal with the gate as a separate issue.
Second coming through.
Right.
Which would come in the November.
Right.
Cotton.
Then you could do it that way.
Okay.
So what you're saying is the masonry piece tonight we need to rule on. Instead of taking no action, we rule on that.
You can. That'll speed the masonry part of it up. That'll get that through to council. And then they can come back at a separate day with the gate.
But at the same time, the downside of that I see is that if we approve it and it goes off, then we do come back with the recommendation to add a gate. Will council add a gate or not? So that's a chance we take either way. It goes both ways. There's a lot of different looks.
If it went to council with masonry and a required gate, I think they could, if council so desired, could undo the gate.
That's right.
At that point, because it's already in the description, you can get less stringent, not more stringent.
Right.
Right. Since it's already in the description, they can take it out. What they can't do is add it to it when it's not in the description of what's going on.
So if we pass it with the recommendation that a gate being considered, it's up to y'all. If so, somebody has to amend the motion.
I'll amend the motion that the gate is required.
Wait.
The motion was Mr. Anderson's.
See how it doesn't. Say it again.
Rich had the motion, so he would have to amend his motion.
Oh, okay.
And the motion would be to approve this, but recommend that, frankly, I think you can make the recommendation without amending the motion. Just say that, it was discussed.
Can we amend a motion with a recommendation for a gate?
Yes.
And move on with that?
Yes.
To amend a motion, I'd like to amend my motion to recommend a gate, an opaque gate.
To approve this and to recommend a gate.
And to approve this, recommend a gate.
And then we'll have
of such structure you can't see the garbage.
Right.
With the opaque gate that you can't see the garbage.
Right.
So it's not a chain link gate.
So you second his amendment?
Second, yes.
Okay. And what did you say about a gate?
Opaque, that it's not just a chain link fence that you can see
right.
through, and one that has, that you can't see the receptacle.
Yeah, we're not so much protecting the garbage as protecting the view.
Right.
Do you also want to add something in there about it's required to be closed?
I think that will have to be addressed.
That's
when we draft the
okay.
language.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But I'd like to see it just be a solid gate.
Right.
Opaque, I think, is the solid that we're
right.
Could be.
Now, but you're saying maybe that you can't even see through the slats if it was wood?
No, what I'm thinking is when I think of opaque, there are different types of fencing that you can that are opaque, but you can see what's behind it.
Mm, fair.
Wood or metal?
That's fine. Works for me.
Wood or metal?
Wood or metal.
Wood or metal gate? A gate constructed of wood and metal that is opaque.
Second.
You don't need to put opaque.
There's some clear wood out there, Mark.
That's true. Can you get clear wood? That's right.
Maybe a gate butler.
Maybe plastic. Whatever. So, did you get that? Can you read it back?
Yes, the motion has been amended for approval with a gate made of wood or metal.
No, that's
and
not
it's required.
No,
with the suggestion.
With the recommendation.
Recommendation, yes.
To come back with a gate of wood or metal.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'll see.
Because he said we could not make it
right.
with a gate. That's why I said no action, and we get it fixed the way we want it. Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Got it? So how'd you get it this time?
The motion has been amended for the recommendation of the gate to be wood or metal.
That a gate be added, because
yes.
it doesn't have it has an optional gate. Does that work, Mr. Smith?
It works for me.
Perfect. We got it? Everybody okay?
Got
all
it.
Right. All in favor, vote. Please.
Wow, motion carries unanimous.
Approved. With amendment.
Such a good award.
Now, all I need now is a motion to adjourn. Somebody wants to do that?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously. Time is 7:12.